Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, g'day. Welcome to the lead up to round 13 in the AFL, the last one of the bye rounds. I'm Mark Duffett. I'm the senior football writer at the West Australian newspaper. I have alongside me Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. Quarters.
Duff, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How'd your tipping go in round 12, Glenn?
Very badly. Again, pants round the ankles time.
Luckily, those four tats for the premierships are still there.
Oh, they're still there. Don't worry. It's 13, actually.
We're going to get you drunk one day and sandpaper them off. So, the highlight of the round for me, Glenn, was the Queen's Birthday clash on Monday.
Fantastic game.
Melbourne Collingwood. Absolute cracker of a game.
Pulsating finish. Could not ask for more that final term.
Now, as they say, revenge is a dish best served cold.
Took 8 years. It was very cold, but gee, it was well. Jack Watts is a player I have long admired. There's always been a bit of pressure on him, and he did take a long time to mature as an AFL player, but it was just terrific to see him nail the game late. And I just love the way he steadied. A lot of pressure on that kick. I know he was on his own and he had a couple of bounces, but there was a lot of pressure on that kick. And he just sat back and put it through. And well done, Jack Watts. And 8 years after he was banged up by Collingwood on the same ground, on the same date, well done.
And to realise how difficult that kick was, you had to see the lead up, didn't you? Where he was at centre-half forward on the front end of the square, and he ran 100 metres to get on the end of that ball and then ran another 50 metres with the ball before he took the kick. And he ran harder than three Collingwood players who couldn't get back on him. They included Jeremy Howe, we're about to talk about in a minute. Taylor Adams was another one he got past. But to run that hard for that long, get out on that flank at the MCG and then slot it very coolly, it was a fitting end to an absolute cracker of a game.
Pretty hard to kick those two when you're fatigued. But he did it very coolly. And don't the Melbourne supporters love him?
Yeah, well, they should, because he's been through a lot and he's been through a lot with them. So.
I'm not convinced about Melbourne, though. It was as impressive as it was, they only just scraped home against a side that was banged up.
Yeah, so Jamie Elliott's very important to Collingwood. And
Four goals.
Well, three. I'll give him three. Mm-hmm. So if you put his three goals in, then Collingwood nearly gets the chockies, don't they?
And maybe a free kick or two. Now, I know free kicks can go for you and against you, and there's probably a couple that could have gone the other way, but just there were a couple of late contentious free kicks, so a lot went their way. I'm just not convinced yet. I think there's a lot to like, and they're definitely on the rise. So a lot to be hopeful for Melbourne supporters. I'm just not convinced this year.
I'll tell you one thing to be hopeful about is Christian Petrarca.
Great player.
He is a very good player. He will be their best player in 2 years' time, and he will be a Dustin Martin type player in 2 years' time.
Jeez, they've got a good one in Oliver too. He's found a level of consistency that's bordering elite now, I think.
So you put those two in as your two primo A-grade midfielders in 2 years' time, and then you add players like Tyson and Jack Viney, and Nathan Jones will still be around.
He will. Max Gawn should be around for a little while longer.
I'm talking about your ground-level mids. Yep, so if you're looking at building that base of seven or eight very good ones, they're well on the way to doing that, aren't they? And, of course, they've got Angus Brayshaw, who's running around the VFL but has had concussion issues.
Yeah, what is his status? He's close?
He's indefinite. Yep. Leave now. So they're going to take it very slowly with him, and they're going to make sure that he's over those head knocks before they put him back out there. But he's a very good player.
What about the bloke who jumped 3.5 metres?
The best aerialist we have seen in footy, Jeremy Howe.
Wow. Warwick Capper was talking about him yesterday.
So Warwick would have said he was the second best aerialist we've ever seen in footy.
Called him his apprentice. He said he had a bottle of Warwick Kappa Merlot, and he said, "Well, hey, has he got one of these?" As Wazza does. But look, as good as he was, as good as, you know, you go back and you have your Knightsies and the one-off grabs like your Ashley Sampies and your Brett Allisons and all those sorts of great marks. But this bloke does it every week, and gee, can get up there.
28 nominations for Mark of the Day, but before Monday. So 29 now.
Well, that's the mark of the year. Are we agreeing on that so far? Unless he outdoes himself.
Yeah, he's the best chance to beat that.
Yeah.
And he could do it next week.
We probably will do it next week.
I mean, I loved watching Modro. I loved watching Gary Ablett.
Yep.
You mentioned Peter Knights. Paul Vanderhaar, same era as Peter Knights, was a great aerialist. So there have been a few. Sean Smith, that played for Melbourne, was a bloke who could take a hang every now and again.
Yep.
But I don't think we've ever seen anyone who just rolled them out as regularly as Jeremy Howe.
And seems to have found some consistency about his game as well. In the past, I think we've seen the occasional hang and then a long-term injury. But he just seems to have found some a bit of consistency now, which is great.
I reckon it was one of the games of the year. Quarters, I know that the defensively-minded coaches and analysts will not like the amount of turnovers and that sort of thing and the fast-flowing nature of the game because they like to see effective defensive mechanisms in place. But when footy is played like that, it is clearly the best sport in the world.
Absolutely.
That's why we watch it. That's why we love it, to see games like that. I absolutely love that game.
Now, if you're a Carlton player kicking in at the weekend.
Yes.
And you see a 19th man there on the edge of the square, what do you do? Nick Maxwell. There's been a lot said about it, and a lot of coaches are coming out now and saying runners should be banned, or at least they should be cracked down on harder. This is a bugbear of mine. I think it's ugly. Too many runners, too many trainers, too many people carrying water out there. Just ban them all.
This is a long and not so proud tradition in AFL footy.
Just because it's been around for 100 years doesn't mean it has to be around next week. I think
this is why they were banned from the 50-metre arcs during the kick-ins.
Yep.
So 8 of 11 kick-ins, Nick Maxwell was standing in the same place.
And if you have a look at the vision of it, it does look awkward. You're kicking out to that, so he's filling space. Jordan Lewis said so himself the other night. So, look, and there are a few coaches in agreement with this. I think we've got to the point where if you haven't got your message across to the player by the time they run out in the ground and you can't do it at the next break, then you shouldn't do it at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. Reason why Jordan Lewis would know about it is because he played under Clarko, and Clarko was a master of it.
Well, they've all probably done it at one point, but I just think take the grey area out and just get rid of them altogether. There's also, they're arguing that, he's out there he's actually coaching players. Well, where's the fine line between delivering a coach's message and actually coaching players?
Shouldn't be allowed to coach players. You should be delivering messages to players.
Well, you're delivering a coach's message. You're coaching them inadvertently. So I'm just saying there's a lot of grey areas there. Just ban them.
Now, we mentioned Clarko in that conversation. Speaking of Clarko,
tried to channel John Kennedy again.
And didn't work.
Really, oh, no. What did he end up? $5,000 fine?
Well, I have to say,
15 suspended.
If you're going to fine a bloke, fine him. Yep. This business of, they hope that journos will fall for the headline of, oh, he's been fined $20,000. Oh, but by the way, $15,000 of it's suspended. Forget the suspended fine. Fine him $15,000 and make him donate it all to motor neuron disease research.
Absolutely. And good weekend for that. I agree. Look, he's a serial offender. He's done it before. But obviously tried to channel the great John Kennedy, who once, of course, famously said, Duff.
Well, you give us your best Kanga. You do it pretty well.
Well, he was asked, when he was coaching North Melbourne, he was asked about a particularly bad last quarter of umpiring. And he said, as you know, I'm not allowed to comment on umpires. So today I've definitely got no comment. But it's not his best line.
And what is his best line? I think you've got one coming for me there too.
Well, the later stage of his coaching career. North Melbourne's playing at Arden Street and they were beaten. And he's come into the rooms and John McCarthy, who kicked 5 goals and North Melbourne had lost, and John Kennedy sees John McCarthy talking to the media and he's just stormed out. And one of the great footy writers of Melbourne, Jeff Poulter, follows John Kennedy out and says, Kanga, we've got to get a comment for the paper. And he says, don't worry about me. John McCarthy will tell you everything you need to know.
And then what happened at training on Monday? Quarters?
So the urban myth goes, he turned up on the Monday with a big bag of footies and said, fellas, here's your footies. You go and kick them. And John produced one of those rainbow-coloured footies that kids use. He said, here, John, you go and practice your one-handed marks down the other end.
Coaches have a lot of cruel and cynical ways to get their messages across.
Well,
didn't
Malcolm Blight once lock the door on Austin McCrabb at quarter time?
Yeah, he did more than that.
He did.
There was one particular one where he climbed the ladder when the Crows were in at halftime, having not played so well in the first half, and he went up one rung on the ladder to point to a player and he'd go up another one, and the spray given to the next player would be worse than the one from lower down. And then when he got up the top, he delivered to Darren Jarman, who was no mean player.
No.
But the spray he gave to Darren was memorable and unspeakable.
Wonder if it was three-quarter time of the grand final, because he kicked five, didn't he, in the last quarter? So
I think it was post two grand final wins, and I think he was a bit frustrated with maybe a grand final hangover.
We wouldn't be getting much out of Darren Jarman these days, but anyway, that's another story.
So speaking of grand final hangovers,
yep.
The Doggies, how are they tracking?
Well, I reckon this weekend's going to be really interesting, round 13, for what we see out of the Bulldogs and what we see out of Port Adelaide, because they were both horrible last weekend. Horrible.
Yes.
It was the worst performance I'd seen from the Dogs in a couple of years. Almost turned up and said, can't be bothered today. So, look, I want to see. It's an interesting game. They're playing Melbourne at Etihad Stadium on Sunday. Melbourne doesn't play that well at that venue, so I want to see a bit from the Dogs here. I'm going to reserve my judgment until after this round. I still like them. I think they're in the three or four teams that can win the flag. But it was a horrible effort last round, and I'm just hoping it was an aberration.
Well, I'm a great believer in this quarters. One thing that doesn't change over decades, half centuries, centuries, millenniums, human nature doesn't change much.
No.
Our circumstances, our technology, all that sort of stuff, that may change, but human nature doesn't change much. I go back to 1994 Essendon, the year after the Baby Bombers won the flag, and 2009 Hawthorn,
yep.
the year after the Hawks stymied the Cats and pulled off an unexpected flag. They were in exactly the same position at the halfway point of the year as the Dogs are in now. Neither of those two teams played finals.
Yep.
Young teams that have big breakthroughs tend to struggle because their players don't have that urgency. They think that they've got all this time in their careers left. They think they're on the cusp of a dynasty, and I think it takes them a year or two to readjust and understand just how hard they have to work to win flags. I'm not going to write the Dogs off just yet, but I think they are at real risk now.
Yeah, look, I would agree with that, but I'm just not. I think they're very well coached, and I think he'll look at. It's probably time to bring Libba back in. He's probably served his penance. Mix things up a little bit, and he's probably made a statement with Liberatore. We'll bring him back in now, maybe cut some other players if they don't perform, but he's got to try a few things, which he will.
And it might be time to... Timmy English has had two or three games.
Yep.
Young ruckman, he's clearly very raw.
Yep.
Needs some more development, needs a summer in the gym. Might be time to put him back in the VFL and get some mature bodies back in there. Fremantle v Brisbane at the Gabba at the weekend. Putrid.
They were, and geez, didn't they cop a whack from Michael Barlow over the weekend too? I think the terminology he used was that they had their pants pulled down 3 weeks in a row without Sandy.
Yeah, no Sandy, no Dockers. We're back to that.
We are. He's re-signed, which is good, and good to see them roll out Sean Darcy as well the other day. There's the past or the present and the future, which was nice to see.
Yes, and the future for Sean Darcy is going to require a lot of dieting and a lot of long runs because he's a strong guy. He's a very smart young ruckman, but the thing he's going to have to work on is his athleticism. He's a lump of a lad, and he's going to need to fine down a little bit.
We've got a tough run home, Freo, too. Geelong away, GWS away, Sydney away. Essendon away. It's a tough run home.
They won't be playing for.
No, I don't think so.
No.
But we've said that all along, really.
Yeah. I think that if you take off two of their wins, they're 15th at the moment. And two of those wins were very much last gasp wins. So they're very much in rebuild mode.
And Fife clearly playing hindered.
Yes, yeah, sternum, I believe. So apparently he wore padding and protection around his ribs and sternum at the weekend. It didn't help when he flat-packed himself over the top of a pack and landed absolutely pancaked on the ground.
I think it's not an unfamiliar position for an AFL player to find himself in, but let's not undervalue what they do. Because these players go out there and play under enormous duress. Yes, they're well paid for it, but I don't think we should undervalue that.
All right, let's look forward to round 13 quarters. Let's start with West Coast versus Geelong. No Josh Kennedy, no Scott Lysette.
No Hawkins, but most disappointingly for me, no Wiley Buzzer.
No Wiley Buzzer.
What a great headline name. I was looking forward to the Wiley Buzzer making his debut, but I think Rhys Stanley's coming in.
Were you going to type that in your coyote word?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. What a great name. Look, I am Geelong's in good form and travel pretty well. Yes. Look, I'm going to retain my faith in West Coast and pick them.
I'm giving West Coast one last chance. This is the last chance saloon for the Eagles for me. I keep on thinking there is better football in them, but I'll be severely disillusioned if I don't see it in this game.
Obviously, Dangerwood is the key to the game. West Coast's ability to combat that. But I think Geelong, the last 5 years they've come off the bye, hasn't been a good result. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Chris Scott said they have mixed it up a bit the last couple of weeks to try and counter that. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and the other thing that West Coast need to be on the toes, on the lookout for, is that obviously Scott Selwood will tag Luke Shuey, I'm tipping. And the other thing, I think Patrick Dangerfield, with Tom Hawkins not playing, I think he'll go forward a fair bit. He's been kicking a lot of goals this year, so whoever goes to Dangerfield needs to be a player who can cope, not just in the midfield, but also in the defence as well.
So you're picking West Coast as well?
I'm picking West Coast, but it's their last chance with me.
On Friday, Etihad Stadium, North Melbourne versus St Kilda. Now, St Kilda's coming off a stinker, an absolute stinker, and losing touch with the eight very quickly. Really interesting week. You'd probably expect Lee Montagne to get about 40 this week and probably to get a couple in close, I'd say, after Dermot's whack.
Yeah. Look, as analysts, we're all entitled to our opinion, and sometimes you want to be entertaining and a bit witty with your opinion. You got to be careful you don't make it personal. Dermot was pretty close to the line then, I reckon.
You know what? I reckon he was a bit close to the line, but Lee Montagne should be worried more about getting the footy than that, really. Yeah. You should be able. He's been in the game for long enough to let that ride. I think there was a little bit of an element of sooking about that, to be quite frank.
I'm going to give St Kilda in the same boat as West Coast with me. I'm giving them one last chance. So I'm going to tip them to beat North. I think North have been up and pretty good for a little while. Might be due for a bit of a taper.
Yep.
The Saints, but not with any great confidence.
Well, I like Higgins. I like Ben Brown. I like Zeeb. I like where North's heading, and I'm going to pick North this week.
Okay.
On to Saturday, Richmond v Sydney at the MCG. Crackerjack game, this one. Buddy, last time, round 23 last year, kicked 7 against him, so you can expect, probably Rance, Grimes, Asprey to be doing a bit of a job on Buddy. I'm picking Sydney.
I'm going to differ with you again. I'm going to pick the Tigers. I reckon the Tigers are a better team than they were last year.
Yeah, I liked Sydney's form last round against the Dogs. I thought it was a really impressive effort, and I have been on them. Occasionally I've jumped off, but I have been on Sydney all year. I still like them. I still think they're the best team outside the four.
So can they play finals?
I think they can. I think they can. They only have to keep winning.
It's going to be a weekly question, isn't it?
Yeah, but if they keep winning, it won't be. There'll be a bit of momentum behind them. Look, I'm picking Sydney. You're picking the Tigers.
I'm picking the Tigers.
Port Adelaide v Brisbane at Adelaide Oval. Great to see Brisbane.
Absolutely.
Have a win.
Yep, and great to see them sign Josh Shackey.
Yes, and great it was, and they need to do that. And equally, Gold Coast need to sign Stephen May. So there's no this leakage ends in Queensland. Good to see the two Queensland teams have a win last round too.
Stephen May, everything he says, the Stephen May conjecture is a little bit like the Nathan Fyfe conjecture. Every public utterance Stephen May makes indicates that he's staying.
Yep.
So they need to sort it out. They need to get through it. Maybe he's seeing where the club is heading, but I'd expect Stephen May to sign and stay.
Having said that, what a great effort it was by Brisbane. They're playing Port Adelaide coming off a stinker, and Dixon was held goalless for the first time, I think, this year. I just think it's oh dear Brisbane this week.
Yeah, and Port Adelaide quarters. West Coast have copped a bit of flack for being the flat track bullies of the competition. I reckon Port Adelaide are in that conversation as well. They do load up on the lower level.
Good
team.
Win in Shanghai.
Yeah, against a lower level team.
Of course, yeah. Look, they probably do. Look, I think just as there's some questions to be answered by Western Bulldogs after the last round, I think Port's in the same boat this week.
Yeah, I reckon Port needs to beat someone credible. Yep. They will smash Brisbane this weekend.
Yep.
Let's not kid ourselves. They will smash them, but Port needs to beat someone credible pretty soon.
So two good wins last round by Gold Coast v Carlton. They're playing each other up on the Gold Coast at Metricon. Terrific performance by Carlton.
Absolutely.
Against a side that's probably going to win the flag, in my opinion. Against a Gold Coast team that is sporadic. It's sporadic.
You can see what's there at Gold Coast, but you can also see them standing in their own way.
Yeah, they do.
They get simple things wrong in footy. You know, the guy who should give the ball off wants to take the tackler on. Every now and again, their defensive efforts are pretty poor. For that, there's a lot of endeavour.
Yeah.
I like a lot of what I see about them, but, geez, they shoot themselves in the
forward line, very impressive, Wright and Lynch. Rocket Ead, if he had any hair, it wouldn't be. It would be gone. Yes. I mean, they must be the most frustrating team to cage.
He'd set fire to it, I reckon.
Just about. I'm picking Gold Coast. Up there.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Gold Coast. Carlton are very good defensively, so it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a real test for the composure of the Gold Coast ball carriers.
Speaking defensively, Liam Jones, a good move into defence last week, looked terrific. Your thoughts?
No, absolutely. And you've got to give a big round of applause to a guy who's basically been written off and lambasted as an AFL player. But, and it's a big but, let's see how he goes on Tommy Lynch and Peter Wright.
Exactly. And just one final one about Carlton. Matthew Cruiser, where do you think he stands in the All-Australian at the moment?
He's right in the conversation and right at the forefront.
He has had a good year. I think this is his best year.
Yeah. I reckon he's a great player. He's one of those players who's often been asked to play in not his best position because they've had a weakness there and they've had other players to play in the ruck. He's a ruckman. He's a bulldozer-type ruckman, a four-wheel drive ruckman, and he's very, very
And I'm ready. Glad he didn't leave a couple of years ago when the injury curse struck again. He stuck with the Blues, stuck with him. He stuck with the Blues, and it's starting to bear some fruit and good on him. I hope they have some success, and he has some success with them.
And their rebuild is on track.
Oh, yeah, he's doing. And being very well coached by Bolton, too. Final game of the round, Sunday, Western Bulldogs v Melbourne at Etihad. They don't play well at Etihad, Melbourne. I've won from 20-odd games, I think, but I'm expecting the Bulldogs to bounce back here.
Yeah, I'm expecting the Bulldogs to bounce back, and I'll be even more concerned about where they are if they don't. I think you're right. They have the ground in their favour. They have something to prove. It's time to get Liberatore back. It's time to get the young ruckman out and get some seasoned, hardened bodies in there and start going about the business of defending their premiership. They need to win.
Good luck.
Good luck. We need it, quarters, the way you and I tipping
it. Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully I can improve on two.
So as we mentioned, it's the last of the bye round, so we'll be back to all 18 teams playing next week. Follow us on in the West Australian in the pre-game lift out, and then in the Weekend West on Saturday. You can get your progress report on the weekend matches in the Sunday Times on Sunday. And, of course, on Monday, get the full wrap of the round in the West Australian, the game lift out. And if you're following us on the internet, do it via Perth Now and thewest.com.au. We'll see you next week.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.